And I want to talk with God's grace about children. Everybody here tonight who is a Christian parent, everybody here tonight who has gotten this opportunity and responsibility of raising children, we all have this great mandate of guiding our children towards a destiny. A destiny from a social perspective, but also a destiny from a spiritual perspective. Now, this destiny from a social, academic, professional perspective is very important. It is important that our kids know how to behave in society, how to talk to other people. It is important that they have a good education, and it is important that they have a good job as they're growing up. But nothing exceeds the importance of our children's spiritual destiny as they're growing up. The destiny of their soul and spirit. Therefore, because this investment into our children's spiritual destiny as they're growing up is so important, my message tonight will be entitled, Bring Your Children to Jesus. Bring Your Children to Jesus. And the main passage is going to be Luke, again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 16. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. The first thing we want to do, as always, we want to look at the context. That's the first important thing. So, chapter 17, in verse 20, the Pharisees ask Jesus the following question. When will the kingdom of God come? So now Jesus gives a longer response to that question, using, as always, illustrations, parables, examples. And then in chapter 18, verse 15, something interesting happens. Some parents come and they bring their children and they want to interrupt Jesus so that Jesus prays for their kids and blesses them. Now, the disciples, although not asked, I would say, act like bodyguards. You know, when a VIP works on the street, we all know this picture. You have two bodyguards, left, right, in the front, maybe somebody in the back. I don't know, that's the way I like to imagine this picture. Of course, it was not like that. But what we know is that the disciples stopped those parents. They stop them. They're like, no way. There is no way. You're not going to get to Jesus right now. But Jesus saw that. And Mark records that he got angry. Now, I want to emphasize that because, you see, I found only three references in the four Gospels that Jesus got angry, where it's clearly written that he got angry, not just implied. I might be corrected. I found three, maybe in 10, 15 years, 20, I found something more. So, I found three. The first one was this occasion. The second one was, and we all know that, when he got into the temple and the people made out of God's temple, a den of thieves. And the third one was in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, when Jesus wanted to heal that person with the deformed hand. And he kind of wanted to see how his audience, the people around him, are reacting to this. So he kind of spoke with them or asked the question. And when he saw that those people cared more about the letter of the law, which was way exaggerated, even taken out of context already, more than to have compassion for that poor guy with the deformed hand, he got angry. So that was the third case. Now, I wanted to emphasize that since it's not only three times, This really bothered Jesus. This really bothered Jesus. So he said to the children, to his disciples, let the children come to me. He prayed for them. He blessed them. And then he kept on going, speaking about God's kingdom until chapter 18, verse 34. And one more thing in this introduction, which is interesting to know. This true story was recorded in all three synoptic gospels. So again, another reason to think that this was very important. Now, for the time remaining, we want to look at a part of this verse, at the statements of Jesus, where he says, let the children come to me, and then towards the end, we're going to look at the next phrase, which says, don't stop them. And out of the first one, the first sentence, let the children come to me, results a question, which we could put in different ways. One possibility would be, why is it so important to bring our children to Jesus? Or why do we have to bring our children to Jesus? Or why should we let our children to Jesus? So let's look at four reasons why we should do that. First of all, because Jesus loved, loves, and will love children. In Mark chapter 9, verse 36, we read the following. Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. What a passage. What a verse. Just reading that verse, we see how much God cares and Jesus cares about children. And children are special, right? They have some special character traits, what we as adults lose somewhere in our life, right? One of them is the sincerity of a child. Our children are always sincere, right? They tell you the truth. Sometimes that makes you laugh. Sometimes that makes you cry. Sometimes that makes you run away, right? Like that case when I was a little kid, I would say somewhere around 7. I'm going to use some Romanian words to describe this a little easier because it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's better in Romanian. So anyway, somebody was calling. But before somebody was calling, I heard my parents talk one day to each other, and they talked about a person, I don't know exactly whom, I just imagined the person, I think, and they were like, omulăste un pic șmecheraș. So now, one day, somebody called, and I don't know why I thought it's that person. So that person called, I took the phone, I answered the phone, and I'm like, listening to that voice, and then yelling immediately to my mom, Mama, o suna șmecherul ăla. When my mom got to the phone and answered, it turned out to be a completely different person. It was a pastor, someone like that. It was very embarrassing. I learned a very important lesson that day. Children, you know, they just say what's on their mind. Now, sincerity in general is very good. We should not lose that. We should learn to have that again. The second thing amazing about children is their power to forgive. They're so quick when it's about forgiveness, right? And it's not always about toys, you know? Sometimes they get hurt when they play, you know? Just looking at my daughter and her cousin Sarah, you know, they're getting along really good, but sometimes they fight. But, you know, a few minutes later, they're playing again. You know, they're amazing when it's about forgiveness. And another great thing about children is their humility, their humbleness. They really know how to be dependent on their parents. They know they can't do anything without their parents. Every time they're in trouble, they call after their parents. First time when they get in trouble, they yell, Mom, Dad, help me. They really know how to put that passage in practice, right? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, of course, they relate more to their parents. But if they're born and raised in Christian families, they astonish us sometimes what kind of faith they have even in God. And when they get in trouble, immediately they say, "But Dad, Mom, let's pray." Right? What do we do first when we get in trouble? You know, if your son would come to you when he's six, and he would say, "You know, Mom, Dad, I really appreciate the fact that you raised me up to this point. It was great to live in this family, but you know what? From now on, I'm gonna keep on going by myself. I think I can continue my life." That would be really weird, right? You would say, "I don't know, didn't you sleep last night? Or, you know, we need to cut off from your TV time," or something like that, you know? But you see, what's sad is, you know, parents are not all-powerful, you know? They do what they can. But you see, we have an all-powerful God. And when we get in troubles, we always yell after God. But then when God helps us, we get out of our tribulation, then we're like, "Okay, thanks, God. I'm gonna take off from here. I'm gonna continue on with my life. I don't need you anymore." And then when we get in trouble again, and that's really the sad thing what happens, we're like, "You know, God, I tried everything, God. I tried all my resources. I tried everything. You're the only one left." Just think as a parent, if your kid would come to you and would say, "Dad, you know, you're the only one left. Thanks, son," you know. That's how we make, I don't know, but kind of that's how we make our God feel sometimes, right? "You're the only one left, God. There is no one else. Please help me." He should be always the first one. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, the second reason why we should bring our children to Jesus is because Jesus wants to bless our children. We used to bring our children so that our pastors pray for them. We are used to this. And every time we hear number 622, we hear the baby's name, and we say amen. And then the pastor prays. And then here in Emmanuel, another great thing we do, the whole church prays for their family. Sometimes you get very used to this. But I want to tell you something tonight. That's not just a tradition. That's a sacred act, what we do here. We truly want God's blessing over our children. What we actually do is we come with our child to church and we say, "God, I give my child to you. I want him or her to be your servant. I want your wisdom over my child. I want your blessing." It's more like a promise. It's more like, "God, I bring him today, and I want to bring him for the rest of my life to this church or to a church in general. And not just to a church, because Jesus is not only here. I want to bring him to you everywhere I am. Through the way I talk, through the way I behave, through the way I relate to other people, even through the way I think, through the way I plan my life, I want my child to know Jesus. I want my child to know that Jesus is the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we want, right? That's why it makes no sense when you see some people coming, you know, and then you don't see them anymore. Just for the baby dedication, they're gone. Makes no sense. It's more a promise. It's more, "You know, God, I want you to take care of my child. I want you to give me wisdom." And we never want to leave our houses. We never want to start our day without praying to the Lord, "God, bless my family." We take Job as an example, right? Amen. So, the third reason why we should bring our children to Jesus is because our children are able to praise the Lord. And not just that they're able to praise the Lord, but Jesus, God, rejoices when he hears the children praise him. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 15, we have children sing some awesome words in the temple. Words what the religious people of those times, maybe who knew the law inside and out, didn't say. Listen what those children said. Praise God for the Son of David. What amazing words. Here we have another version. Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, children sometimes, they say such amazing things. You know, I love scriptures. I love theology more and more. I started a while ago to listen to church history. And listening to, first I started off, church fathers and so on. And one day I got to Augustine of Hippo. Now everybody who likes theology or church history in general is gonna get over this guy, because he was one of the most amazing philosophers and theologians of all time. Now, what's very astonishing about Augustine, you know, he was not a man of God in the beginning. He was a man who liked rhetoric. And he even had his own school in Carthage. Then he came to Milan. And in Milan, he went to church. Because in church, there was a guy named Ambrose, who was the bishop of the Church of Milan. And Ambrose was an amazing man of God, but also a great man when it's about to speak. So he was there to listen to the rhetoric. And somehow they got friends, and they talked a lot. But you know what quite amazed me when I was listening to that lecture? Was the fact that although they were talking a lot, having a lot of conversations, that point of conversion didn't happen through in one of those conversations they had. You know when it happened? One day, he heard, and that's how Augustine described it, a childlike voice saying, "Tole lege." Take up and read. Some theologians say, or historians might say, he was singing those words. Some just say he said it. Sometimes, who knows? He heard a childlike voice saying those words, and he picked up Romans, and that's when his life got transformed forever. The voice of a child, the words of a child. In Joel 2:28, the word of God says, "Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." God wants even children to praise his name. Four, the fourth reason why we should bring our children to our Savior, to Jesus, is so they start having a relationship with God from a very young age. Now, this is very important. Why? Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Here, the word of God says, "Direct your children unto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it." And when they're older, they will not leave it. You see how important it is so that your children know about God? We have an amazing example here. Samuel, right? Father was Elkanah. His mother was Anna. And Anna was barren. She couldn't have children. So she was praying to God because around that time, it was a curse if you couldn't have children. And she promised, "God, if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate him to you." God listened to her prayer, and gave her Samuel. After he was weaned, theologians say between 2 and 5, they brought him to the temple. Now, and that's quite interesting, he got to the temple, and although he was in the temple, he didn't have the perfect entourage. We all know the sons of Eli, right? Even Eli himself was not maybe the perfect example of a father, right? But he was in the temple, and God spoke to Samuel. And Samuel listened to God's voice and became one of the greatest prophets of all time. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2 to 7, we have an example of his prophecy. How exact he was prophesying. Because God was with him. The Holy Spirit was in him. From a young age, he understood what amazing God he has. And he wanted to follow him for the rest of his life. Now let's look at the following phrase, which says, don't stop them. Don't stop them. Now, in our case, the disciples stopped those children to get to Jesus. Now, there could be many reasons why they did that. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Maybe one thing worth mentioning is, historically speaking, children at that time were not so much valued like nowadays. But I think there is nothing wrong to say that children were never as much valued as nowadays, right? There is a bed for 0 to 1 month, then you need to change it. 1 to 3, then you need to change it. 3 to 6. Kalin knows what I'm talking about, right? There's so many things, you know, about children nowadays. Anyway, they were not as much valued as they are nowadays. Could have been a reason. Who knows? What I want to say is the fact that although at that time the disciples stopped the children to get to Jesus, nowadays, I could say, generally speaking, the church does a great job in letting children to Jesus. We involve children in ministries. We give them the right education. That's why they have their own classes, right? We want them to understand the gospel. The church does a lot in regards to this matter. What we need to be careful is there is someone who's fighting desperately to get our children's attention. And he doesn't want them to get to Jesus. You know, I was looking at some statistics, and I was just shocked how desperately the devil fights so that our children just have all kinds of preoccupations, but not God. It says, one of the statistics says that 1 out of 10 children who ever start gaming becomes addicted. 35.1% of 12th graders have smoked pot in the past year. Young people aged 12 to 20, that was alarming when I read that. Young people aged 12 to 20 drink 11% of all alcohol consumed in the United States. That's quite a big number for the fact that they're not even allowed to drink, right? It says that for children under 6 years, they spend about 2 hours watching screen media. Now, lots or some of those things have a lot to do with parenting. I pray to God that he gives me, especially my wife, wisdom to teach my children about God. Because it's not so easy. I don't know if it was easier before, you know, probably not. But nowadays, it's for sure not easy, you know. Just have a phone, you know. Like I see with Alice, you know, she's very active, as you know. Great girl, but very active, you know. And, you know, it's so easy to just say, you know, here, phone, watch. But that's not always the right thing. Most of the times it's not, right? It takes more time to teach them the right thing. That's what we should do as parents. One other thing which was alarming to me, which does not necessarily or not at all have to do with bad parenting. It's just to see what kind of enemy we have, how he doesn't care at all about our children. 300,000 children are soldiers today, especially in Africa, South America, and South Asia, Myanmar, Burma, and so on. You know, he doesn't care about your children. Therefore, be careful what you do with them. And I want to close with the story of an amazing young kid, named Ryan Sheliak. He's from Canada. And when he was 6 years old, he was in Catholic school. And his teacher was teaching about children in Africa and about the fact that they had to walk 5 kilometers in order to get to fresh water. 5 kilometers in order to get to fresh water. Now, this kid, Ryan, he was interested. And he's like, you know, ma'am, how much is 5 kilometers? So she's like, okay, how much is 5 kilometers? So about 5,000 steps. Now, 5,000 steps for a six-year-old is still a pretty high number. So he was like, okay, let's see how many steps I need in order to get to fresh water. And he walked to the sink from of the classroom, and he counted 10 steps. Now, he understood that 5,000 is a very big number. So he's like going home, and he's like, Mom, Dad, I want to talk to you. No? I learned something in school today, which was crazy news. You know, there are children in Africa who need to walk 5,000 steps in order to get water. I only walk 10. We need to do something about it. You know, just imagine yourself being a parent in those moments. You know, and they're like, Ryan, maybe we didn't think that we have to have this talk with you so soon, but look, you know, there are cases where there is not a lot you can do. I'm so sorry, son, you know. No, there must be a way. So he's like, okay, you know, he comes up with the solution, and he's like, you know, Mom, Dad, look, I want to do some extra chores around the house, and then you pay me for that. You know, I'm doing right now my room and that, but I want to do more. You know, I don't want to clean out the garage and stuff like that, and then you just pay me for that. So his parents are like, okay, you know, sounds great. And he started doing those chores, and in 4 months, he got $70. So after 4 months, he's going to the organization called Water Can, and he's bringing those $70, and he says, okay, I want to build a well in Africa. They're like, so listen, you need $2,000 in order for us to build a well for you guys. So his parents are like, son, you know, we're really sorry, you know, but there is, you need forever to get those $2,000, so I would say just give it up. He's like, no, I'm not going to give up. So he found so many things to do in order to just somehow get to that money, and in just 12 months, in 1 year, he got $2,000. So he goes to the organization called Water Can, and they're like, wow, you're amazing, little fella. So we're going to build that well in the northern part of Uganda for you. And for those children, of course. And so he was, like, really happy. But you know how children are. A little later, he's like, Mom, Dad, I have another wish. I want to go and see my well. They're like, you know, son, we can't, you know. We need to wait until you're 12. Maybe then, you know, they made some calculations. We're going to be able to travel to Africa. But this kid, you know, he went around and told everybody about his plan. And he found a neighbor, a good neighbor, who was like, you know what? I have miles on my credit card. I'm just going to donate those miles to you and your mom, and you can go and visit your well in Uganda. So he goes with his mom, he flies to Africa, and something amazing happened. As he got there, 5,000 children awaited him there to thank him for that well. When he saw that, You know? 5,000 children don't need to walk 5 kilometers to get water. He made this his life's goal. Ryan is 27 right now. And listen to that. He built 1,277 wells. That's enough water for 924,000 people. This guy, you know, a kid, you know, a six-year-old who comes home and says, "You know, Dad and Mom, I want to do something about it." A six-year-old. I don't know, maybe you look at your children at home and you're like, what can those children do? Now, what can those kids do, you know? Children are amazing. Amen? And when God has a plan with your child, never say no when God says, I want to do something with him. God has a special plan for everybody's children, I'm 100% sure. We need to listen to his voice. We need to follow Jesus. We need to follow God. And God is going to bless Emmanuel, amen, with our children. God bless you all.